Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
That's right, we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7, hanging out with you here this morning. We have moved locales. I didn't know Blankenbaker was so handy. I have my cantilever, which you're apparently an expert on.
I've never seen this before in my life, but I knew that it could move.
So this is since I've got the deck redone, I have it's a giant, umbrella. I mean, that's not the right term. But
it's a cantilever. Umbrella.
And I had only had it angled. I didn't know it could actually center off like a regular squared umbrella, and it's...
You're using it like a sunshade.
Yeah, pretty much.
But this
He's like, let me check the old lever over here. I'm like, there's a lever? I didn't get an instruction manual on this.
And, I just grabbed the handle, and then it clicked in, and then I was able to move it upwards and then over your sitting area here.
So, Ebbs and Low Renovation, ebbsandlow.com, that's L-O-W-E, ebbsandlow.com, did the deck, and it's... It's totally changed the look of the backside of the house. It's totally different.
And I'm under the umbrella, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it makes a big deal. Because you can't be out here without some sort of shade in the summer because it's just silly. So, because it's COVID in here. So, that being said, thank you. Thank you for letting me know what it did. I learned something there. That was good.
I'll come use it while you're in Vegas.
Yeah, you can do that. Lieberman will be in the basement at the sauna, and you'll do that. So, Jared Stillman with us on the line here, 9th round of the Ville, ESPN 680. So, yeah, we're on the new back deck, Jared, so welcome in.
Man, I tell you, I'm really, really jealous. It sounds like you got a great back deck, and maybe something one day I'll have at home, especially if I end up buying a new home at some point, for certain reasons or whatever. Uh-huh. I'll definitely want to make sure I get a great back deck like you.
Yes, absolutely. I was asking you the other day about going down to the Stanley Cup, and because I went ahead and did it. I pulled the trigger. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I'm ever going to see a Game 7. I've never seen one yet. Glad I did it. So you get a minor assist on that when I saw you were down there.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. I was there at Game 5. What I thought was fascinating was how in Game 5, it was, it was 3-1 Florida, and I would say the building was 95% Florida fans for Game 5. And the tickets were kind of roughly the same. If you wanted to sit up top, it was about, $800 or so. If you wanted to sit down low, you're looking at probably anywhere from like $1,700 to $3,000, $3,500, something like that. And, I looked at the get-in prices for Game 7. Not that I was going to go, but I was just fascinated to see what the get-in prices would look like as compared to Game 5 because I, just curious. And I was surprised that it was the same. But then I watched
it was
game
not
TV.
The same. Let me tell you.
It had to be like 40% Oiler fans there. And there were people on social media that were going crazy saying, all these Panther fans are selling their tickets and all these Oiler fans are coming down from Alberta. And I thought about it. I said, what happened was these Panther fans were so dejected after they had lost the three games in a row that they were like, well, we're definitely not going to win. The Oiler fans were so excited that they had won the three games in a row that they was like, hey, Grandpa, this might be our only chance to go see the Oilers win the cup. And, I mean, what would you say the percentage of Edmonton
I would
fans
say it was about 25%. At most, I would say top.
I would just say it was like 5% though for game five.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. Like the hotel I was at, it was all Oilers fans. They'd all clearly just flown in yesterday. There was plenty of them flying out yesterday. The get in price fluctuated. It was at like 1,200 the night before. That morning we were looking at it, and it got to, well, and when it says 800, that's 1,000 by the time you get in fees.
Fees, yeah.
But then it went back up. So I ultimately paid about. All fees, everything. I paid $1,200. But it's game seven, one ticket, boom. I mean, it was worth every penny. The weird thing is, you know about being down there, though, it's the worst place to celebrate because you can't walk anywhere. Everybody's got to drive somewhere. That's a bizarre town to celebrate a Stanley Cup because you don't know where to find anybody.
Well, I mean, it's not really a city, right? Like, I'm dead serious when I say I think the Florida people, like, they do not play in Miami. They do not play. I mean, I guess
in Fort Lauderdale. They don't even play in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, they're 30 minutes from Fort Lauderdale.
It's technically Sunrise, quote unquote. Yeah. But what I did was I got credentialed to the NHL. Visiting my grandmother in Florida, and she lives about 50 minutes away. And I was like, it's game five, and it might be a clincher. And so I was like, I told my dad, I was like, you want to go? And my dad was like, no. He's like, I do not want to drive an hour each way to go, you know, drop $3,000, because they're going to be probably two of us,
to
go to the game. And so I was like, okay, yeah, that's fair. So I texted somebody, you know, with the NHL, whatever, and I was like, hey, you know, is there any way I can get into the game? And they got me a credential. And so what I did, this is the most convenient experience I've ever had in my life. So what I did was I just took an Uber right into the stadium, and it dropped me right off at the back door of the production lot where the press entrance was. So that was easy. Then when I got out, you know, I didn't want to – stadium, I don't know, trying to catch a car. What I did was I just hopped on the NHL shuttle to the NHL's hotel and then just called an Uber from the NHL's hotel, which took me about 20 minutes in the direction I was going. It was so convenient.
Yeah, no, that's great. But it's just from a fan experience. You're like, all right, game seven, where's everybody going? They're going to their cars so they can drive out of there because it's like Greensboro.
Weird.
You know, it's
weird.
Like – so I hate when arenas – like if Nashville – you know, when Nashville celebrates a hockey win, hell, everybody's out on the streets, right by the arena.
Broadway, yeah.
I mean, I went when they won game six of the Western Conference Final to get to the Cup Final. And, I mean, I was 27 years old at the time. And I was feeling myself because I, you know, post an afternoon drive in Nashville.
Yep.
And I think I stayed out until, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, and the mayor was out until, like, 3 o'clock in the morning. And
that's great.
It was just a giant party, you know, so... But, again, you know, what's crazy is I was really disappointed in TV ratings. You know, ESPN and the NHL are bragging about that 7.7 million, and that's a good number for, you know, a Hockey Cup final game. But Game 7, given the greatest player in the world right now, given the fact that, you know, it was they were trying to pull off this epic comeback, I was disappointed by the 7.7 million. I thought there was a chance they'd get to 10 million for the first time this century. And people are saying, well, you know, it didn't have an original six team in there, or, well, it had a Canadian team in there. I think the problem is the Florida Panthers. I think that if that had been the New York Rangers instead of the Florida Panthers, they'd have hit 10 million. If that had been the Boston Bruins, I don't think it was Edmonton.
Well, what was the baseball rating that night? I mean, you had two champions crowned on the same network. You know, I didn't see what the Tennessee games ratings were.
I did not see a baseball number yet. I was thinking about this. You know, last year LSU Wake got to 3.5 million. Was the average, and I thought going into it, I said on the radio, I thought Tennessee, Texas A&M was going to get about 2.9. I figured that they would not get the 3.5 last year simply because they were running opposed to another game. ESPN, what were they thinking? Like, I don't understand this.
Why
would you have game seven of the Cup Final on the same day as the College World Series championship when you own both of them? Like, wouldn't you want – to me, this is what I would do. If I was ESPN, I'd say, okay, we're playing baseball on Tuesday. Once they won game six, I would have said we're playing baseball on Tuesday. So we're going to play Saturday, Sunday. We're going to take Monday off because of hockey. and we're going to play Tuesday.
Well, I would say this. Why the hell was hockey not Sunday night? That's a much better night for TV.
Or Tuesday night.
Yeah. I mean, but why would hockey not be on Sunday night? I mean, you know, they watch this little sport pretty well on Sundays, you know, in the fall there.
Because of how hard it is to get between Edmonton and Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't get there. You're right.
So, and again, I mean, if you're ESPN, the money that you're spending on hockey dwarfs what you're spending on that total NCAA package, which includes all the sports except for football and basketball. And obviously hockey is one of the major pro sports, so it probably takes precedence. But see, I don't think Monday night's terrible. You know, we play the national championship in football on a Monday night. We play the national championship in basketball on a Monday night, and they get pretty good ratings. I thought, though, like, and people were telling me when I said, well, just move the baseball to Tuesday. They said, oh, you can't do that. I said, what if it rains tonight in Omaha? What are they going to do? Oh, that's Tuesday.
Of all the sports, though, it would give a depleted bullpen an advantage that you would not want them to have, it would seem to me.
I understand that. But at the same time, like, if you're the NCAA and it's like, all right, on one hand, you know, the teams get to rest their pitchers. Both teams get the same advantage, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Or we do what's in the best interest of the sport. And I was like, we do what's in the best interest of the sport. And to me, that would have been to play on Tuesday night. And that would have been in the best interest of the sport. That would have been the best interest of ESPN. That
but if you're a Tennessee fan, though, Jared, you've already been out there a long time. I mean, it's a tough event to go to. You know, I mean, you've been in there for 11 days, 12 days.
Yeah, but none of these things are ever done, in my opinion. None of these things are ever done for the fans. Like, the fans that go to the game, they're done for the fans to watch on TV.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, right? Like, you know, if you watch a movie, you see all the extras. And when you see the extras in the movies, like, they pay them to be there. It's like $35 an hour or whatever in order to be an extra in a movie. Well, I mean, all these things are TV events, but what they're doing is you're paying to be an extra in the movie. And I think it's incredible. But they never do anything for those fans. They do everything for TV. And remember Roger Goodell, because John Mara, the owner of the Giants, went crazy last year when they decided, hey, we want to be able to flex out of Monday Night Football. And he said, flex out of Monday Night Football? What about our fans? You know, they make plans to come to the games. And Roger Goodell's like, well, we can either worry about 10 million people or we can worry about 40,000 people. Which one do we care about?
Yeah, I mean,
well, this was the seventh largest television audience in 30 years.
So what was the number?
7.7 million.
Wait, for hockey or for the baseball?
For hockey.
Okay, but yeah, I was trying to see what the baseball.
I'm going to look that up next. But basically, this is the highest ever NHL game ever on an ESPN network. I mean, it did pretty well.
So I was disappointed, though, because in 2019, the Bruins and the Blues played in a Game 7, and that got, like, 8.9 million viewers.
Yeah.
And obviously, Boston – see, that to me is the difference between Boston and Florida, is the fact that, you know, the big market and the traditional team and the fans who are more passionate and everything, that probably gives you the extra million bump. But I do think that there were probably – I'm not going to say a ton of crossover between baseball and hockey, but I'm sure there was some.
I was doing it.
At the end of the day, most of us are just sports fans. And if there was only hockey on Monday night and no baseball, we would have watched hockey because it's the only sports. And if there was just baseball on Tuesday and we were just
It would have helped. It would have helped both. Yeah.
And that was it's the second largest audience ever for the College World Series. It's down from last year's LSU Florida, but it was 2.82 million viewers for the College World Series. Probably
even if you added all of them, which you wouldn't get anywhere near that, even if you added 50%, that still wouldn't have gotten to your 10. I just think it was great that people paid attention to it. I mean, I think you got some eyeballs on the sport. I mean, like Steve Rummage was talking about it yesterday, you know, and learning hockey terms from Nicky DeBoot, you know.
I think as a hockey fan, what was great was I was off all last week on my local show, and I was on Sirius on Saturday. And when Edmonton won Game 6, you know, because in large part because I care about hockey, but also because, you know, the NHL took good care of me, letting me go to Game 5. So I was like, screw it. On Sirius on Saturday, we're talking hockey.
Yeah, and hell yeah, you did.
I've never talked hockey like that on SiriusXM, and I had calls from all over the country. People were watching this stuff. And
they were.
You know, hockey to me is a great sport, I really, you know, Drew, I know you called games back in the day. A lot of people don't understand hockey, and it's a very intimidating sport at first to try to understand.
Yes, I agree.
I liken it to, you know, the craps table. Like, if you just walk into a casino and you look at the craps table, you have no idea what's going on.
But it's not like
the people that do know what's going on are any smarter than you. They just, played craps. And hockey's the same way. Hockey is a great game. These players play hard. It's physical. It's aggressive. It's exciting, especially being there in person. And the more people that like it, the more excited I get, because it means the more that I can share how much I enjoy watching the game with other people. And the one thing I tell these old hats about hockey, they're like, oh, you don't understand the game. I'm like, just shut up and let new people enjoy the game.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing that a sport can do trying to get new people than be like, the soccer's guilty of this, too, being the, like, you know, the snobs of the sport. Like, no, let them not know what the terms mean. Just explain to them how it works, and you're going to be better off.
Yeah. Don't gatekeep me. Let me in.
That's like these Vandy and Tennessee fans in baseball. You know, I start watching in the tournament, and I start making comments, and they're like, oh, you can't make a comment because you only started watching now. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
I was busy with basketball and hockey and the NFL draft and all the other things that are more important to me. But now that it's tournament time, when more people watch, yeah, I'm watching. Be glad that people are watching. Because, you know, I was thinking about this with college baseball and women's basketball yesterday. The Vols won the championship, and Tennessee fans, and I think we can all agree that Tennessee's been through some rough times over the years, it feels like. But Tennessee fans celebrated
not getting
that
any
like
sympathy in Louisville. Tough times.
They celebrated it like it was a football championship. I mean, the way that they felt about it. Now, nobody else outside of Tennessee cared about it like that, but that's how they felt about it. And I was comparing this in my head to when Pat Summitt was winning all of her championships, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s and everything else. And I'm not really sure anybody cared. And I just think that women's basketball and baseball have taken such big steps forward in terms of how much people truly care about the sports. And I think that it's great. Like, I think it's great for us to have more sports to care about and to watch than just football.
Yeah, today, the fact that all these gambling apps have promos on, you know, the Euro Cup or the Copa America. I'll watch. I'm in.
I'm trying to figure out, when did women's basketball and baseball get popular?
Let me push back a little on the WNBA, because I think people are interested in the drama, but I'm not watching it. Like, I'm out. You can tell me about the fight.
Caitlin Clark averages more viewers than Sunday Night Baseball.
Wait. Quantify that stat again. Wait. Every time she plays or did one time?
No. Caitlin Clark averages more viewers than Sunday Night Baseball, according to.
When she was in college or now?
No. Michael Mulvihill does like the numbers on ratings for Fox Sports, and said, WNBA viewership season to date across all networks. Caitlin Clark averages 1.18 million. All the other games averaged 428,000, and all the games last year averaged 300,000. So even the non-Caitlin Clark games are getting a bump of 120,000 viewers, and Caitlin's averaging 1.18 million, which again tops your weekly average of Sunday Night Baseball.
I don't watch Sunday Night Baseball either, I got to be honest. But, I mean, 400,000 people is a nothing rating on television.
I know, but Sunday Night Baseball, and I agree. Yankees and the Red Sox are playing for the 18th time in a row on Sunday Night Baseball. I know. But at the same time, like, Sunday Night Baseball, as far as that sport is concerned, and that sport is a major sport, is kind of an institution.
Yeah, it's still – I mean – I think numbers sometimes.
Not John Miller and Joe Morgan anymore. I know.
Right. I know Joe Morgan's telling lies out there and people are fact checking him, you know, about things that never happened. I miss those days.
You are such a Joe Morgan hater. May he.
No, he was one of my idols. Like, growing up, like, I love the Big Red Machine, but when they started fact checking all the stories he would tell, like, they just weren't true. You know, here's the box score. That didn't happen. Great story, told very well by a great storyteller. It just doesn't happen to be 100% accurate. You know, so if you're cool with that,
fine. You do have to admit, though, like, as far as the interest in the championships, the interest in the tournament, the women's
the NCAA, absolutely. That was legitimate interest. I don't think anybody's.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like
that 100%
winning titles.
100% the college
Summit
game.
Was winning titles at Tennessee.
Nobody
I'm did. Not sure
right.
people cared yeah. the way that they care now. And again, they, like it's
but
not.
But will there be a follow up act? When you know, will there be? Because you know, you got Reese out of there. You got Caitlin Clark. They have an opportunity. Somebody is going to have to pick up the mantle. I don't know who that is. Will they get the carryover is going to be the great question. She certainly has set the table for them.
But that year that Arizona won the title, like in 2021, they beat Stanford or whatever, mm-hmm. or maybe Stanford won, I can't remember, which, you know, but like the TV ratings that year were, they weren't like Caitlin Clark TV ratings, but they were like significantly higher than what women's basketball was drawing before. My feeling is it's the gambling.
Oh, I agree.
There's always a profit.
UConn not winning every game has helped women's basketball, and I think it's the gambling. It's the, hey, you know, who's playing right now? LSU and Seton Hall. What's the line? LSU by 11. Yeah. All right, I'll take LSU minus 11, and now I got to watch the game.
Or what's the profit boost? 30% profit boost, WNBA. No sweat bet on DraftKings on a daily
basis.
There it
is, something like that.
I mean, that'll make you watch. I mean, hell, I'm watching the Euro Cup. I mean, I'm betting the Euro Cup live. You know, because of this.
I'm betting it live.
People keep asking themselves, why are these ratings up? It's the gambling. I mean, it's not all of it, but it's a large portion of it.
Trevor Maddish was on our show yesterday, and Trevor, you know, he's a football guy through and through and, you know, played in the league and has been on ESPN for forever and whatever. And so I was talking to him about, you know, the hockey game, baseball game. But he's like, I watch WNBA. He's like, I watch the WNBA. I've gotten into it with Caitlin Clark. He's like, I'm watching it. I think that the – you know what the other thing is, too, about women's basketball that I think we all have to agree on? I say that. Maybe I'll say it, and then we'll see if we all agree.
Leading, Your Honor. That's leading question, Your Honor.
You're right. And I apologize. Withdrawn. But the play of the game has gotten so much better, too. That's something that we should not overlook as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not
– Well, the college women's basketball has done a really good job – of establishing stars. And if it's Caitlin Clark or it's Boston or it's Angel Reese, for a long time that did not carry over. It just didn't mm-hmm. carry over from – but now you get these huge ratings in college basketball.
I mean, Candace Parker was a star.
Yeah, but not –
but
people didn't have the crossover. It didn't have the crossover.
Brittany Griner is a star, but it didn't cross over.
So when was the moment – I mean, obviously Caitlin Clark. Explosion, but – I still think it was building up to that, like and baseball as well. And maybe it's just that more sports, more teams care about it. So because there are more resources across the country that are put into these sports, that more fans just care because of their teams, and then they start getting – I don't know. But, I mean, I definitely think that the value of a baseball championship or the value of a women's basketball championship to the fans – matters more than it did 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, I agree. And the tough part is it's still going to be tough to get legitimate interest in the regular season, particularly in baseball, because that's one of those deals where it's like people around here are like, ma'am, we demand Dan McDonald. Get back to the College World Series. Going to games this year? No, I'm going to games this year, but I want to be good in that. I want to be good in that. You know, it's like, yeah, it's tough. And it had to be pretty cool, though, as a Tennessee fan, to see Morgan Wallen and Peyton Manning hanging out that game. That was pretty cool.
I mean, in all seriousness, though, other than the NFL and college football, does anybody care about any of these regular seasons?
No, you're right, and that's the tough part. Well, no, but I think baseball and women's basketball is, you know, I mean, nobody around here is going to go to – if it's 48 degrees on March 20th, they're not going to watch the baseball game. It's unfortunate.
Well, my theory behind, you know, the regular seasons of these sports are – if you've got a team, you'll care about your team in the regular season. And also all of these games with the proliferation of ESPN Plus and everything, all these games are on TV if you want to watch them, which is another thing. But Valley Sports is dying, these regional sports networks that, you know, the pro towns and like Fox Sports Ohio, for instance, that has the Reds, they're all dying because, like, the demand to watch regular season games is just not that high. It's like, you know, in order to watch the Reds, you have to have Fox Sports Ohio. Okay?
Don't get me started.
How much do I have to pay for it? You have to get DirecTV if you want it. Well, you know what? I think I'll just go ahead and stick with what I've got because when it comes to playoff time, for whatever it is, I'll be able to watch it, hockey, basketball, baseball. And so now these regional sports networks are dying because people just don't care about the regular seasons anymore. And that's for everything except for the NFL and college football.
Yeah, well, for me, I want to pay Jared, but that, you know, but I'm not switching to DirecTV. I have YouTube TV, and they won't let me buy it. And I can't even buy the MLB package because I apparently live in the network in between St. Louis and Cincinnati, and I can't watch either one of those on the MLB TV.
I'm actively campaigning on air for Bally Sports, which has the Predators here and has the Braves. So, like, I'm double committed here. I am actively campaigning for them to die. Like, for them to be declared bankrupt by the judge. And because the hockey and baseball and basketball, they're trying to get out of these contracts, you know, kind of like what the ACC did. You know, the ACC
exactly.
had their deal through Bally Sports.
Yep.
And
yep.
Bally Sports was like, we don't want to pay you guys anymore. And they were like, thank God they went to the CW. And while the CW is kind of a trash network, their broadcasts for the ACC games aren't that bad.
No.
Oh, no. I think the broadcast is good. Yeah. If you can make fun of the CW all you want, it looks good. The audio is good. No, it's a good, clean broadcast.
And Corey Alexander's
And it's much easier to find than freaking Bally Sports. So I'm hopeful that that's what's ultimately going to happen with the NHL so I can watch my games again.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It is when I switched to DirecTV, I didn't realize, wait a minute, I'm not going to be able to, like, see the Reds? Like, I'm willing to pay, but
they won't let you.
No, won't let me pay. Crazy.
And they want – baseball wants these things to, like – they want this to die. So, to Mark's point, you know, the TV contracts are structured so that they can't give away the digital rights inside of a broadcast area. They want these TV contracts to die because even though they'll lose the money from them, they think that they'll make the money from all the Blakenbakers of the world that are then going to buy the MLB package to be able to stream the Reds.
I will buy it, though, Jared, like legit will buy it. But I'm 2.5 hours away from Cincinnati and 2.5 hours or more from St. Louis, and they won't let me watch either one of those games if I buy the package.
There are, I think, the state of Iowa, or there are cities in Iowa. And again, what's the Major League Baseball team in Iowa again?
The Iowa Cubs.
You cannot watch in Iowa. It's blacked out. The Cubs, the White Sox, the Twins, the Brewers, and, like, somebody, like, maybe the Cardinals or something. There's, like, six teams that are blacked out in Iowa.
The NBA's like that here.
In Iowa that can claim that state.
Jared, Memphis in the NBA is blacked out here. They're in Arkansas, basically.
It's a six-hour drive.
I mean, Jesus. It's basically in Arkansas. It's like, golly.
You know what? I know our politicians spend way too much time going on cable news to complain about things that they don't really care about that much, but I would appreciate it. You know, these politicians get knee-deep. You know, when somebody kneels for the national anthem or somebody doesn't kneel for the national anthem, these politicians go crazy about what's going on in sports. These politicians go crazy when it comes to the public funding for stadiums and things like that and, you know, city councils. And I don't understand why the politicians don't get involved in this with Bally Sports being as bad as it is. There is a senator in Minnesota that fired off a letter. But it's like, why don't you guys just get involved and make those contracts illegal and let's start from scratch?
Yeah, I guess they've got other things. I don't know, but I'm with you. I mean,
they're going on cable news to complain.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see you soon, I guess. Well, maybe we'll talk next week. That's right. We'll be fine next week. And I'll run into Jared somewhere.
Very exciting times ahead for your dinner.
Yes, yes. Thanks to Jared Stillman. So, all right. We'll talk to you soon.
Blake and Baker, good luck watching the Reds.
Yeah, man. I'll just have to steal some passwords. Let me know if you get any.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see you guys.
All right, we'll see you. Chip, you're like the dog whisperer over here.
Yeah, he likes me. Yeah. I'm calm. I'm not making any noises.
You are. You're doing a great job. It's like falling asleep.
Yeah.
On blanket.
We're cuddling. I've got little chip hairs all over me. But
that's okay. Get used to that. Yeah.
I can deal with that. I can deal with a little dog hair.
Yeah. We're gonna have to pull the fast one on him here. You know, I'll have to walk him while Max makes sure he's totally packed.
Right.
Then Max will walk him while I pack so that the dog doesn't see the suitcases going in the car.
And then you go into the car.
Yeah.
And then
we'll have to leave like. Max will go out the front door, wait 5 minutes, give him something.
Like walk up to the pool or something?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. And he hates that. He hates seeing Max walk away.
Oh, he doesn't like
that. He'd rather see you, like, go down to the basement and leave in a car. For whatever reason, he flips out more when he sees you walk.
Maybe because he feels like he needs to be going with you.
Yeah, I don't know. You can figure out this brain.
He's a good dog.
He's great. He's the best. But he's so emotionally needy that when we, if he sees that suitcase, he'll just start whimpering. So and he's smart. You know, they know the movement. Like when you're packing, you're walking faster. You're going up and downstairs.
They know that you're.
He's figured that out. So I've got to. That's why I've got to get him out of the house while I pack.
Yeah, they know your schedule.
Yeah,
they know your schedule. Absolutely.
This dog is something, man. I mean, last night he was just fine. He was laying on the couch. I started to go to put my shoes on because I was actually going to walk him.
Yeah.
And he thought I was leaving. Just started whimpering. I'm like, "You're coming with me. Settle down."
Yeah.
He's like, "You're not leaving me again. This is it. This is. I know this is the time you're never coming back." It's unbelievable.
Well, I really enjoy your back patio.
I'm glad you showed me the full power of the Death Star here.
And you've got electricity in here, and I've got electricity on my back patio now thanks to Abtech.
Look at that.
And I've got light. Abtech Electrical Services, they got light out here.
Yes.
Thank you so much to Abtech. If you need any electrical work at your house, maybe you need a generator,
the
maybe
basement,
a car charger.
Got light. We let lights and stuff, we let it just build up and pile up, right?
You really do. We did at our house. We had extension cords going all through that back patio.
Because it works, but it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good, and it's really probably not safe to have that many extension cords going. So, you know, Abtech Electrical Services, they came out and professionally got us taken care of. And if you've got a pile of stuff that you've been waiting on, they'll take care of you over there at Abtech Electrical Services.
That's AB Alpha Bravo Tech Electric.com. And if you want to text line, I'll send that back to you.
They did an amazing job. I was really happy with it. So.
Yeah. They're great. No, again, have light in the garage and in the bedroom where I was just like, I just kind of given up.
Is this solar? Because I don't
Those lights on this are solar.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are, as we're on the Ebbs and Low deck, so are the lights on the posts.
Oh, okay.
So these lights here, they're solar.
Oh, these are solar too.
Yeah.
Wow. And they just come on automatically?
Then it gets dark. Yep.
Wow.
You like that, don't you? Romantic. You like that. You like that.
It's very romantic, Drew.
Under the cantilever, not cantilever
umbrella.
Yeah. Shut up. Let's see. All right, we'll talk to you here on the other side, 267-9680. It's a Dieter Show, 93 The Ville, ESPN 680-1057.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Dieter Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Dieter and Mark Blankenbaker.
All right, we're back at it here. We are here on my back deck. We are here. We moved out here. Mark got the cantilever working on the multiple directions that I did not know.
Yeah,
it worked that way. So
it's pretty nice out here.
Yeah.
I like it. And I got Chip cuddling.
He's got Chip like just calm laying next to you. I mean
he's cuddling me more than my wife does.
Yeah.
This is great.
Let's see. I was trying to find. We were just in the break. You were talking about the text I almost read last week, and we were reliving the James. I don't know if you can look up the Penn Island sound in the Dropbox.
Yeah.
But I was right at the precipice of it. I was at the altar last week.
On Rochburns?
Yes. Because, and this guy tried to get everybody on it. It was me, Strebel, and here was the text. "Hey, can you shout out my son? He was on the PRP state championship team. He played middle infield, and we're on our way to Branson, Missouri for a U-17 All-Star event. Can you shout him out? His name is Mike. And plays middle infield. He would be Mr. Rochburn's progeny." We'll be driving to Branson during the show today.
I thought it was an A-plus effort.
It was an A-plus effort, and I get like that's like a bases-loaded, no-out jam I got out of.
You hit the brakes.
I got right there.
Yeah. Hit the brakes like Maverick.
His name is Mike.
I mean, I think everybody else reads that text. Like, if you get to Branson, Missouri, you're going to say the name.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you didn't say it. I really don't know how you didn't say that word.
I don't know. I stopped right there.
Rochburns.
And it was – but it was right there. The Penn Island got us.
The Penn Island got
and
us.
And it's how they write it. It's like, you know, oh, hey, I'm with my son. They're going to Branson, Missouri, like of all cities. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know if there's a lot of that going on in Branson. I don't know.
It feels like a place where there'd be a lot of youth sports, right?
No, I meant like, you know, itching down there.
Oh. I thought you were talking about youth sports.
What's the stuff? What's the powder?
Talcum powder?
No. What's the powder? The non-itching powder.
The itch powder.
Non-itch. Oh, what's the brand of that?
All right. Jock itch powder. Jock itch cream.
Gold Bond.
Yeah.
Some on Nick's desk right now.
Well.
Oh my! Is there really?
Yes, I think he's been using it on his feet though.
They got a little Lotrimin.
No telling, man.
Lotrimin is a brand. Dude.
Drew wanted to briefly brag about.
Here we go. Go ahead, play.
My son, I try not to do too much. He's in eighth grade, started his own pen business. He's been creating unique ones with different styles and colors and has been successfully selling them online and came up with a company name of Pen Island, as each one he makes is unique. I encourage everyone to check out his website at PennIsland.com.
PennIsland.com?
You got a free live read out of it,
I'm
going to
look at
brilliant.
It. I'm going to PennIsland.com right now.
There you go.
I love it.
To the brag line, hey, Drew and team, I wanted to give a shout-out to the Holland County
boy.
Boys.
Oh, boy. You stepped in it bad there.
I did.
We both did.
Oh, no. It's
type in
serious?
Penn Island on your...
No, but dump as much as you can here.
Dump as much as you can.
But really?
So
really, people?
Yeah. Trying to do a good thing.
I dumped as much as I can.
I know.
Any ice?
Oh, we were so enthusiastic. Oh,
and
it was so well written.
We finished the show. I think that's the hardest we've ever laughed off the air. Because we were dying.
Like,
the
text line. If you search Penn Island on the text line, it's pages.
Endless.
Of stuff. Yeah.
We still get so Penn Island text on the text line.
What's that?
We still get Penn Island text on the text line.
What did James say?
Oh, you cut out altogether there, James. What was that?
I said, sorry, we still get Penn Island text on the text line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably one in the last week if I put Penn Island in here.
I believe it.
But that was, that was right there with it. Last Wednesday, then May 22nd, April 26th. There's at least one a week, it seems like.
Yeah. So it's legendary.
Yeah.
If we ever get the DIT back going.
The one time we did the DIT.
We'll have to have the Penn Island region.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
We got to do that sometime.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not this summer because we got the TBT, we got the Bahamas, we got the Olympics. We got all kinds of stuff going on this summer. We just got a kind of a, you know, it's going to be a lot of college sports administration stuff.
It really is.
From now until really the next year, because it's going to take a while to kind of work through all this stuff.
I mean, I don't think people really understand how much college athletics is fundamentally changing behind the scenes right now. Yep. How budgets are being slashed to pay, you know, the $22 million per school that they're going to have to pay their athletes, and how, I mean, just tough decisions that administrators are looking. I mean, there's got to be options on the table that people probably wouldn't believe but have to be considered because, you're at a point where it is changing, you know, just the $22 million wasn't just kicking around everybody's budget.
Right. I mean, every sport at U of L has had a social media person.
Yeah.
You know, like assigned to like each sport.
Yeah.
You're probably not paying.
No, you're not paying anybody for that.
That kid $35,000.
You're not paying anybody for that. Somebody on the team is going
to
do it and build a resume.
Right.
You know, I mean, they'll be fine. I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's probably somebody who is on a team, a manager or something like that, who's going to learn a valuable skill on how to be better at social media marketing.
Right.
And they'll get some real life experience of it. So, because the difference won't be as big. It won't be worth whatever you were paying the extra staff. You know, I mean, college programs are going to be so lean. Now, they were way too fat 5 years ago.
Right, they're going to be more real, more realistic than they have been. And you know, but when you have the extra money, you got to spend it. You know, you can get fat like college athletics kind of got.
You just won't be able to do what Texas did and pay $2.7 million to buy out a baseball coach and then go pay that baseball coach and have money left over for NIL at the ACC and Big 12 level. You won't be able to do
that. Right, right. No, the Big Ten and the SEC will be able to do that. But they're probably making some tough decisions too. You know, and the SEC, frankly, has an advantage over everybody because they sponsor so few sports in the SEC.
Yeah.
Comparatively to the Big Ten.
Right.
You know,
or the Pac-12.
Or the Pac-12 did, and now that's gone. But like the ACC, we sponsor probably 6-7 more sports than the SEC does.
It's crazy. Yeah. And does the SEC even have men's soccer?
No. They play still in Conference USA. Kentucky does.
Yeah.
Which, do they need soccer?
Fair question.
You know, so there's lots of these questions that are going to go on, and we'll find out. You know, we'll see how it all goes down.
I'm just amazed you got this cantilever to, you know, to move the way you did.
Yeah, we'll see if we can close it.
You got the cantilever open. You got Chip Calm laying on your. I mean,
does this happen?
Why do I live here?
Does this happen for you?
Not often anymore.
Really?
Not well. Maybe at night, but not often.
No, we're
anymore.
Friends. We're cuddle buddies now, man. I'm telling you.
He loves him some Lincoln, baby.
Yeah. Sephora was at Holiday World yesterday.
I was?
That? Yeah.
Terrorizing kids?
And it was a rain guarantee day, so they can use those same tickets again on a future date.
Ah, okay.
So, pretty cool.
All right. Well, we're finishing up here on the Ebbs and Low deck. I'll be live from Vegas tomorrow from UFC International Fight Week.
I'll talk to you from the MGM Grand.
That's crazy, huh?
And let me know what the Arbonne situation is at the pool. What's the plan for tonight?
There is no plan. You're the planner. I'm not the planner. There's
You're
no
just going to go fly by the seat of your pants in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I'm with my yeah.
You don't have a spa appointment?
No.
Blackjack table?
Definitely not. Definitely not have that. We're very different in the way we plan trips.
You're not doing couples massage with Max?
No.
Be nice. Be lovely.
Chip, why do you like him? Talk to you tomorrow.